All right, so I know you just sat down. Please stand up for a minute. I have a very good purpose for this. Wow, this light is blinding me. Okay, what's the general alertness level like in this room? 10? I'm seeing some 10. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Seeing some zeros, some tens, some fives, sevens. Okay. Because this is the night session and we are approaching the end, we are going to take the Pledge of Alertness together. Okay? Please raise your left hand in the air. Normally you take a pledge with your right hand, but this pledge is unique. It's a left-handed pledge. Repeat after me. And guys, this applies to the people sitting. This is going to affect the way you treat the people on your right and your left, okay? Listen up. Say this after me. I do solemnly pledge to stay alert and awake. If I am not alert, I give permission to my neighbor to make their fingers into a crab claw and grasp my ear tightly and pull down until I scream like a dementor. So help me, be seated. Thank you for that last part. All right. I have now given you permission. If you see the person next to you nodding off, you are allowed to gently yet firmly pull down on their ear. All right, so I'm going to take a very, very abrupt turn from that Pledge of Alertness. We're going to start tonight with something. We're going to go right into full speed ahead. I want to start. Okay, so in that video we saw, there was one particular point. It said, because I'm a new creation, shame has no place in my life. I agree with that, but we got to get to the point where we figure that out. Otherwise, it sounds great, but we don't know how to get there. I want to begin by telling you all the things I was ashamed about in high school. Isn't that a fun way to start this off? Let's just throw open my closet and rip out the skeletons. Skeletons in the closet. You've never heard that phrase? All right. This was real stuff for me. Here's the thing. I know that high school is, there's a lot of shame. I think every person deals with shame. There's a lot of shame, I think, in high school. I think you're trying to figure out a lot of things about yourself. You feel a lot of shame about yourself. I can relate to that. I felt shame about a lot of things in high school. I felt, like I was talking about this morning with the way I dressed, I felt shamed a lot that I didn't dress in a particular way because I didn't feel like I fit in. It was embarrassing at times. I would try, I would obsess, didn't work. At times, I would be ashamed of the way I looked. You wake up in the morning and all of a sudden you discover that an entire mountain range of pimples have erupted on your face. And it's hard to be secure when you look like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. It's hard to find security there. I was embarrassed and ashamed because this is legit, I was one of the original homeschoolers. See, now, listen up, now homeschooling is considered a little more mainstream. It's not quite as out there. But when I was first doing it, you were a weirdo if you did not go to school. Seriously, you were a weirdo. And I remember having conversations with people and trying to explain it and them just being like, I don't get it. And the reality was I was a weirdo, but it wasn't because of school. It was because I did things like read Star Wars novels. But somebody else is a weirdo. But it got more serious for me. Those are all pretty lighthearted things. It's got more serious for me, too. See, I was a church kid growing up. My dad was a pastor. And there were some great things about that, but it was hard, too. Because there was a lot of things I wasn't allowed to do that all my friends were allowed to do. You know how hard that is? to like have to tell people, yeah, I'm sorry, I can't go to that movie with you. Or to say, I can't come hang out with you. Talk about feeling ashamed because you're not included. I had to tell people I couldn't be included with them. I wasn't allowed to do what other people did. I was ashamed of my sin. I felt it sometimes so deeply, just ashamed of the things that I saw in me, the desires I saw in me, the things I wanted to do, the things I thought, the things I said to people. I was ashamed of those things. It's like shame was woven into my life back then. And you know what? Even now, I've been a Christian for a long time. I'm a reasonably grown up person. I still struggle with shame. It doesn't necessarily go away just because you get older. I still struggle. For a long time, I've struggled with shame about not being enough. I don't know if any of you ever felt that shame of not being enough. Not being, and for me, there's all sorts of categories. Not being a good enough father, husband, whatever job situation. You put yourself in that situation. What do you feel not enough in? I felt not enough in a lot of things throughout my life. What do you feel ashamed about? Think about it for a second. What parts of your life do you feel shame about? And I'm pretty confident that every person here feels shame. As I've grown older and interacted with a lot of people, I realize that to some degree or another, every person feels some amount of shame in their life. And this applies to Christians and non-Christians. Every person, young and old, male and female, feels different amounts of shame. Unless, and here's the big point we're coming to, we all feel shame unless something is done to deal with it. Unless a solution is found. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy 1:15. I'm going to read a passage, and then we're going to come back to it in a little bit. I want to set our minds on a passage. 1 Timothy 1:15. The Apostle Paul, he's writing to a young man named Timothy. Here's what he says. He says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. That's 1 Timothy 1:15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Now, you may be reading that and thinking, wait a second, there's nothing in that verse that talks about shame. Yes, there is. There's everything in that verse that talks about shame. But we're going to get to that, because I want to start with, there are two ways you can deal with shame in your life. I want you to think about the shame you experience. There's two ways you can deal with it. The first way, and this is what we're told 10,000 times a day by our culture, by social media, by movies. I promise you're getting told this at school. I'm hearing this all the time. And here's the first way our culture tells us to deal with shame, and that's this. Embrace everything about yourself. Every part of yourself. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if you think it's good or bad. You embrace it and you celebrate it. You celebrate all the things. You be you. Have you heard people say that? You be you. You be you. No matter how you live, no matter what you want, no matter what you do, you be you. I mean, this is why Lady Gaga, she sang a song, I Was Born This Way, and her anthem is, look, I'm me, and I'm going to celebrate it. I don't care what you think about it. I don't care what you feel about it. I don't care about your judgments on it. I'm me. And this is who I am, and there's nothing good or bad about it that you can say. She's saying, I'm not going to be ashamed of anything. And that's really what we hear all the time, isn't it? I'm not going to be ashamed of anything. I'm going to celebrate who I am. I'm going to be who I am. Now, there's one ginormous problem with that. It's not true. It is not true at all. It's all a lie. And if you try to live that way, if you try to live and deal with shame that way, you're going to be eaten alive eventually. If you try to handle your shame simply by saying, it's all good, I'm going to embrace it all and celebrate it all, you're never going to survive. You're never going to be free from shame. Because here's the thing. Think about this with me. Man, I've been reading some of the news lately and seeing stories that are just atrocious stories coming out about terrible things done by people to people. I'm not going to go into any more detail. If you've read it, you know it. But as I read these stories, here's what I'm just increasingly aware of. Something is wrong with the world. You guys ever feel that? Like you look around at your life, you look around in your school, you look around in your at yourself, and you're like, wait a second, something is wrong here. Something is deeply, fundamentally screwed up. Like at the very heart of something, there's something wrong. And you know what? This is something we've already talked about quite a bit. The Bible tells us exactly what's wrong. And that thing is that's wrong is called sin. The Bible speaks right to that. That thing that's wrong is that the Bible tells you and tells me we're sinners, which means that at our very core, apart from Christ, at our core, we are bent toward evil. And so when you look around and you see why things are so broken, I know why it is. The Bible tells us exactly why it is. It's because of sin in the world. Sin always produces shame. Because you get that sin, if you're feeling shame in any way, that doesn't necessarily mean you've sinned necessarily. But sin in the world always produces shame. And I see this in my own life. Think about how it works out in your life. Why am I so inherently selfish? Guys, I'm selfish. And I feel ashamed of that many times. Seriously, I see people serving. I see people pouring their hearts out and living hard for Jesus. And I look at how selfish I am. I feel ashamed about that. Why do I struggle with lust? It's because I'm a sinner. Why do I get ticked off so much when someone disrespects me? Because, and I feel ashamed about that, by the way, because there's sin in me. Why are there times in my life, like here I am, I'm up here speaking in front of people, and yet there's so many times in my life when I feel like my love for God is dry. It's like a well that has no water in it. You ever felt that way? It's like you're just dried up. Why am I... Think about my life and how I've treated people sometimes and how often I have just been a judgmental jerk. And I think, man, I cannot believe I did those things. Why do I do that? Because there's brokenness inside me. There's sin inside me. We've talked about this. We live in a world full of shame and brokenness and sin, and everybody feels it. Everybody feels it. Your friends at school, they feel it. They may not tell you, but they do. People in your church, I promise you they feel it. And shame, here's where I'm going to kind of give you a really big definition of it. Shame comes from knowing something. It's from knowing that, and we might consciously know this, or maybe we don't know this consciously, but it's shame comes from knowing that something is wrong with who we are. I've heard shame described two ways, or I've heard the difference between guilt and shame like this. Guilt is about feeling bad guilty for something you've done, whereas shame is about who you are. That's not a biblical definition necessarily, but I feel like it's helpful. Shame goes straight to who we are in a recognition. Something's not right with me. And shame comes, for me, shame comes when I see my sin. There's also times when we feel ashamed because we see sin in other people. I don't know if any of you have ever been around or had the experience of being around a family member and you just see the way they're treating someone or the way they're acting and you feel ashamed about it. You feel ashamed that they're in your family. Or you feel ashamed because someone you're very close to is doing something that you know is wrong. We just know that we're in a broken world. And that's why I think this solution of I'm just going to celebrate it. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to love me and all I am. It doesn't work because you can run from it. You can try to escape it all you want. You can try to numb it. But we're surrounded by brokenness, aren't we? we are surrounded by sin and brokenness and shame. You can't escape it. You can't numb it. You can't hide from it. And there's a song by Adele, and it's a beautiful song that's also like the saddest song in the world. It's her song off her track. It's a title track, Hello. Man, talk about, there's shame and self-loathing just radiating from this song. Listen, she says, clearly she's ripped to shreds about something, some relationship in her life. She says, hello from the other side. I must have called 1,000 times to tell you I'm sorry for everything that I've done. But when I call, you never seem to be home. Hello from the outside. At least I can say that I've tried to tell you I'm sorry for breaking your heart. But it don't matter. It clearly doesn't tear you apart anymore. Man, doesn't that kill you? When I hear those words, I'm just like, this is a person who, she feels deep brokenness and shame about something, a relationship in her life. And, I'm going to say this, unless we have the right solution, you can't escape it. Unless, that's a big important word there. Unless you have the right solution, unless, and this is where things get really good, unless you deal with shame, there's the first way we talked about it, but there's a second way. We can deal with shame God's way. And unless you deal with shame God's way, you're not going to escape it. But if you do deal with shame how God has given us, you can be free from it. God's provided you and provided me with a real, true, beautiful way to escape from shame, to be free from it. And we can look, if you get this, I want you to imagine this in your own life. If you get this, you can stand in front of the mirror and you can look at yourself and you can say, yes, I am deeply messed up. I am a big sinner, but I have a God who loves me and who has saved me in Christ. To be free from shame that like that, you, to not have to pretend that things aren't bad. Isn't that what you guys want? Don't you want to be free from shame like that? I don't want to try to just pretend and cover things up and just like, oh, everything's okay, everything's cool, I'm good. I want to have the true solution. That's good news. And this is what everybody wants. I'm telling you, this is what the world is desperately searching for but can't find. The world is searching for this answer about how to be free from the crippling shame that so many of us feel, and they don't know where to find it. And we have it in God's Word. And so remember, we've been talking about the whole point of the retreat is that the gospel changes everything. Tonight, the gospel gives us freedom from shame. That's how the gospel changes everything. It gives us freedom from shame. If you're a note taker, that's the point you're going to want to note down. The gospel gives us freedom from shame. Let's go back to 1 Timothy 1:15. Let's walk through this. Paul says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. I'm willing to bet that Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this, I'm willing to bet that Paul had more reasons for shame than you do. Have you ever murdered anyone? The answer is yes. I'm going to just make a quick phone call real quick. Just not to the police or anything like that. You may not have murdered anyone, but Paul did. Do you guys know Paul's story? You know what he did? Paul, he hunted Christians. It wasn't just like a one-off random thing. Paul systematically hunted Christians down. Before he knew Christ, he hunted them down. He wanted to have them executed. The first martyr in the New Testament was a guy named Stephen. And as Stephen was brutally stoned to death, you know what Paul did? He stood there and he watched. And he was so happy as he saw Stephen getting beaten to a pulp and eventually killed with stones. this guy was a legitimate killer. And he believed, Paul believed he was on a mission from God to kill as many Christians as possible. Now, when you look at Paul's life, okay, so take that backstory, that brutal, murderous backstory, and then when you read everything it wrote, what's really clear is this. Despite all the things Paul did, he was not crippled by shame. Isn't that crazy? Despite being a murderer, Paul wasn't crippled by shame. And how is this possible? How could Paul have gotten to this place? It's because Paul knew something. Paul knew something so true, so beautiful, so glorious, and so amazing that it completely set him free from shame. And that's what I want you guys and me and us to get tonight. I want us to get that deep within our souls so that we experience the same thing. Now, what was it that Paul knew? We see it in our verse. This trustworthy saying. It's a saying you can stake your life on. Christ Jesus came into the world to what? To save sinners. I think we think of the word saved. I don't know how you guys think about this word, but to me, saved, it feels like, it's a churchy word. I'm saved. Yes, I'm saved. It's like one of those words you say in church and not really anywhere else. Saved isn't a church word. For Paul and for us and for Scripture, the word saved is a word that should radically, completely transform the way we live. It's a word so powerful that it can set you free from shame. How does this fact that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, how does that connect to shame? How does that set us free from shame? It's really simple. Talked about what Jesus has accomplished for us. Now let me connect it to shame. Jesus, he was born sinless. He lived perfectly. And then he died on the cross for people like me and you who have done shameful things. His death, it wasn't for good people. It wasn't for decent people. It wasn't for holy people. It was for sinners who have done shameful things. Oh man, that's good news to me. That's exactly the category I am. When Jesus was on the cross, he was experiencing the punishment for the shameful things I've done. God was punishing Jesus as if, remember all those things I listed earlier? Jerk, impatient, angry, ticked off at people. God was punishing Jesus as if he had done those things. As if he was the one who didn't love God. Took my shame on the cross. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5:21. This verse shows us exactly what happened when Christ died on the cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Just to confirm, does that verse start with the word for? Okay, so I've got the right book of Corinthians. Okay, it says this. For our sake. Put your name into that verse if you have to get it into your head. For our sake, for my sake, for your sake. He, that's God the Father, made him, that's God the Son, to be sin. For our sake, God the Father made God the Son to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let me read that again, because if you don't pay attention, you can miss what it's saying. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Try to wrap your minds around this for a second. Because of Jesus' love for me. Because of Jesus' love for you. In a sense, he became my sin. I don't think it means he literally became sin, but it means he God so identified him with our sin that it was as if he was sin itself. I want you to think about, just for a minute, the sins you've committed. I've committed sins while I've been here at this camp. Just think about this. Just let your mind run through them for a minute. Do you realize that Christ became those sins and took the punishment for those sins? Isn't that good news? And here's the thing. Shame, remember we talked about how shame comes from sin. Shame comes from unrighteousness. Shame comes from feeling unrighteous before God. But this verse tells us that in Christ, what do we become? Look at what it says. We become the righteousness of God. In other words, we are covered completely in Christ's righteousness. Do you believe that about yourself? If you've trusted in Christ, that's who you are. Do you believe that? Do you believe that about you, that God has covered you in his Son's righteousness? And when you are righteous before God, there is no shame before God when you are righteous before God. Write that, just if you're taking notes, write that down, because I think that's an important thing to get in our minds. When we are righteous before God, there is no shame before God. Jesus does not feel shame before God. Why? Because he's sinless. Adam and Eve felt shame in the Garden of Eden. Why? Because they were sinful. When there's no sin, there's no shame. And I would imagine, here's probably, if you're like me, you've probably heard things like this a bazillion times, because maybe you've been around, maybe you haven't, but if you've been around any of these kinds of retreats, church things, whatever, you're thinking, I've heard this all before. Jesus died for my sins, I said a prayer, blah, blah, I get it. Do you? Do you get it? Man, so often I don't think I get it. I mean, I get it, but I don't get it like I need to get it. This is something that if we take hold of this tightly and let it work itself through us, like the most powerful medicine in the world, it has the power to transform us. And these verses we're talking about tonight, these are a shield against shame. If you feel shame in your life, these verses, 1 Timothy 1:15, 2 Corinthians 5:21, these are your shields against shame. You should know these verses. They should be in your mind. You should memorize them. These, the gospel, it's the only antidote to shame. I've never been bitten by a snake yet. I hope not to be. If you're bitten by a poisonous snake, what do you need really fast? You need the antidote. What happens if you don't get the antidote? You're going to die. The poison is going to work its way through your system. And it will, depending on the snake, it will either kill you quickly or it will kill you slowly. It will kill you. It's the same with shame. If you don't have God's antidote, which is the gospel, if you don't have God's antidote to shame, it's going to kill you. It's going to destroy you. And I think so many of the problems we see now with people as they get older, people are just trying to figure out how to deal with shame. And if you don't know how to deal with it, you're going to make all sorts of tragic mistakes. And here's what's interesting. Think about this, guys. Did Paul ever deny his past? No, Paul didn't deny his past. In fact, if you read through the New Testament, it's like Paul kind of boasted in it. Not in a way where he was like, yeah, look at me, look at all the bad things I did. No, he used it as part of his story. In that video that we watched, it talked about how our sins, our sinful deeds are part of our story, a redeemed part of our story. Paul knew, he knew that his past was real. He didn't deny it. He didn't run from it. But it didn't cripple him either. It didn't keep him from knowing God and loving God. Paul had taken the antidote of the gospel, and that had set him free from the shame that would normally destroy people like him. And, okay, Paul used, look back at 1 Timothy 1:15, if you've got your thumb there, your finger there, Paul used this crazy phrase to describe himself. Paul said, he described himself as foremost of sinners. This 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. In other words, Paul's saying he's not just a sinner, not just a pretty decent sinner. He's the worst of sinners. That's what Paul's saying about himself. He's saying, look, I have no problem saying I'm the worst of sinners. Can you imagine, you know how we were doing those mixers at the very beginning, the this or that mixers? Can you imagine if you ask somebody, you meet somebody for the first time, and they ask you to describe yourself, and you're like, oh, all right, let's see. I like Stranger Things, I'm into video games, and oh yeah, I'm the worst of sinners. They'd be like, oh, okay. Let me go hang out with somebody a little less freaky over here. We don't normally admit things like that, do we? We don't like to admit that we're sinners. Because I think it's because sin causes shame in us. We like to hide our past. We like to hide our shameful things. We like to bury them. Because sin usually causes shame and makes us feel ashamed of who we are. When we see our sin, it makes us ashamed of who we are. We don't want people to know, right? Have you ever felt like that? You ever feel like, man, if people knew who I was, they wouldn't like me at all. When Paul looked at his past, he felt regret. I know he felt sadness, but he also felt gladness and he felt joy because he knew something very key. How did Paul get to that point where instead of feeling shame, he felt joy? By putting all his hope in Jesus, the one who will rescue you and rescue me from shame. There's going to be times, okay, if you follow Christ, there's going to be times, you may already experience this on a regular basis, when Satan will come to you. And here's what he's going to whisper in your ear. He's going to say, look at you. Look at those, look at what you did. Look at those nasty things that you said, did, thought, spoke. How could you do that? Look at how sinful you are. Look at how wicked you are. Do you really think you can come to God? Do you really think God loves you? Do you really think anybody loves you? You should be ashamed. You should run and hide from God. Why would God possibly love or accept you? Now, in those moments, they're going to come. They may already be coming. You may deal with them every single day. In those moments, you need to go to verses like Hebrews 4:16. Flip in your Bible to Hebrews 4:16. This verse is a weapon to fight shame. Here's what it says. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and help, or that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You guys got to understand, this is a crazy verse. On the surface, this might not seem crazy. This is a mind-blowing verse. Here's why. The throne, that's where God Himself sits. God. The Holy One, the Righteous One, the Perfect One, the most pure being in the world. He sits on the throne. He's so perfect that the angels don't even dare to look at Him. When Isaiah caught a glimpse, if you read in Isaiah 6, Isaiah's in the temple and he catches a glimpse of God. And you know what he wants to do? He basically feels like he wants to call down curses on himself. He's so ashamed. Felt ripped to shreds by his own sin. I mean, imagine if you bundled all the most important positions in the world, president, queen, prime minister, king, whatever authority position you want to, and you put all those into one position, and that person is in an office. What would happen if you tried to just casually stroll into that office without an appointment? Here's what would happen. You'd get arrested, you'd get thrown on the ground, you'd get handcuffed, and then you would get taken to jail. Because you don't go into places like that. With God, let's take it up infinity. If you go into the throne room of God,
without an invite, you die. That's what happens in Scripture. To those who dare approach God without an invite, their sin results in their death. But look back at this verse. What does this verse say? What word does this verse use? This is like coming to the top of a mountain and suddenly seeing something so beautiful it steals your breath away. It says, let us then, what's the word? With confidence. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Does this catch you off guard? Wait a second. With confidence? Guys, are you hearing what God's telling you? He's saying, you should come with confidence to the throne of God. Wait a minute. With confidence, without any shame, without fear, without judgment, Adam and Eve hid from God, and you're telling me that I should come in to the holy place with confidence. You're telling me I should walk boldly into this place where the angels get nervous going into. Yes, that's what God's telling you. That's what God's telling us. How can you do this without shame? How can you go into God's throne room without just being ripped to pieces by your shame? We're going to go back to it again. It's all because of the gospel. It's because of who Christ is and what he has done for you. I can't say this enough times. I feel like I'm basically a broken record at this point, but I can't say it enough. Jesus Christ is the one who died to take your shame away, your shame before God away. The gospel gives us freedom from shame. I imagine that some of you feel really ashamed about who you are. I don't know what you feel ashamed about. Maybe it's desires that you have that you know aren't right. Sexual desires that you know aren't good. You're ashamed of the way you treat people. You're ashamed that you don't look right, that you don't fit in, that you're too big, that you're too small, that you're too awkward, that you don't have the right friends. So I was thinking about this message before I came in. There are some of you here who are ashamed, not because of what you've done, but because of what's been done to you. And whether by a parent, or by a friend, by a teacher, in some way you've been abused. And abuse is one of the biggest shame producers I've ever seen. The solution to shame is not to tell yourself everything's okay. It's not to try to bury it. It's not to try to shake it off or hide it. If you do that, you're like a person who's in jail and they just shut their eyes and say, I'm not in jail. I'm not in jail. That's just stupid. It doesn't work. You need the person with the key, right? You need the person with the key to the jail. You need the antidote to shame. And Jesus, and only Jesus, is the person who can set you free. He has the key. In a minute, at the end, what we're going to do is, and Patrick's going to lead this, but we're going to have a time of prayer for anyone who wants prayer for this issue or any issue we've talked about. But I want you guys to begin thinking about this. If you're ashamed of who you are, if you're ashamed of anything in your life, for whatever reason, you have to go to Jesus. You have to go running to him. You have to ask him to set you free. If your shame is because of your own sin, because of something you're currently doing, the solution is not A, to keep doing the sin and say everything's okay. That's disobeying the Bible. The solution is not to hide it, to bury it, or to just try to run away from it. The solution is to say, yes, I'm a sinner, but I have someone who died for me, for my sin, for my shame. And it's to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, help me. I want to change. I want to stop. I want to be free from this. When we sin, it tends to keep us from God. Don't let shame keep you from God. Don't let shame keep you from Jesus. Go to Him with your shame. If you're ashamed of something about you, whether that's your appearance, your friends, your abilities, again, you have to go to Jesus. If you just try to make it all go away, it's not going to go away. You go to Jesus, the one who felt shame. Tell Him the details. Tell Him what's breaking your heart. Tell Him how hard it is for you. Tell Him the things that are weighing you down. He knows shame. Jesus knows shame like nobody else. When He was on the cross, He hung stripped naked before the world, spat upon, despised, hated, rejected. He felt shame like nobody else, and then eventually rejected by His Father. That's shame. He knows it, and He can free you from it. If you try other things, I promise you they're not going to work. They might numb it for a bit, but they're not going to work. So the question I want to ask you and that I want you to think about as we move into prayer is this: how are you dealing with shame in your life? How are you dealing with it? What are you doing about it? Are you going to try to bury it and numb it and hide from it? Or are you going to expose it to the light of the gospel? Are you going to bury it or are you going to expose it to the light of the gospel? If you're going to bury it, here's what's going to happen. It's going to fester, it's going to grow, and eventually it's going to rule. If you shine the gospel on it, eventually it'll wither. See, shame's like mold. It does best in the dark. It does best when there's nothing shining on it. It can grow in the dark. That's why we need to bring it to the light, to Jesus. I know a lot of people who have had the crushing burden of shame lifted by Jesus. I think He wants to do the same for you. So what I want to do is I want to pray. I want to ask Him to do that. I want to invite Patrick and the band to come up. Patrick's going to lead us through singing, and we're going to have leaders in the back available to pray. I think this could be an important time for you. This could be an important time. I want to make one other comment. If you are in that situation where you either have been abused or are currently, you need to tell somebody. Do not let it go unchecked. Please, I'm pleading with you. It will cause more shame and more harm, and you can be free from that situation. All right, let me pray. Father, I thank You that You sent Your Son to free me from shame. I can look in the mirror and I can say, I am a great sinner, but I have a great Savior. And that's such good news to me. I don't have to pretend I've got it all together. I don't have to pretend I'm doing everything perfectly. I can say, no, I'm not. But I have one who did. And that's Jesus. And so Jesus, I come running to You right now, and I pray that each person in this room would come running to You now and lay their shame at Your feet, and that they would embrace the gospel in all its goodness, in all its freedom, in all its power. And that I know that shame is a tool of Satan to keep us from You. And I pray that You would dispel it in the name of Jesus. I thank You for all these things. I thank You for Your word, which is powerful and which changes.